find him there anymore. And beyond the tomb, dear friends, there's life everlasting and hope forevermore. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please. Turn with me in the Old Testament to the Psalms 116. Psalm 116, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Psalm 116, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The psalmist writes, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. I want to preach this morning on this thought. I love the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We know you love us. We're grateful for that. I pray that you'll meet with us in a mighty way. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet time we've already had. Lord, now as we come to fellowship around thy word, I pray, Lord, that it'll speak to our hearts and our lives and it'll change us. Lord, it'll put something in us that'll draw us closer to thee. Lord, if one's here without Christ, I pray that this would be a message that would bring salvation to them. Lord, that it would be a message that would change their life, that they would come today and trust thee. For those of us that are saved would be strengthened and helped. I pray for thy divine guidance. Lord, I realize my need of you. Oh God, please anoint me and use me. Fill me and spend me. And Lord, for all that's accomplished, we'll give you the glory. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I love the Lord, the psalmist said. I love how it starts out. We look at this psalm, we realize that the time of the writing is unsettled. Some believe that this psalm was from the era of Moses and the deliverance from the Egypt, from the Egyptian land. Others believe that it was from the time of the return of the Jews from Babylon. Still others believe it to be neither. Believe it to be about David. And a lot of the psalms have titles, and others do not, and this one does not. But regardless of its time and regardless of its lack of title, there's no doubt it has a powerful message. And I want us to see what the Bible is talking to us about here today. And I love how it starts out. What a way to start. I love the Lord, the psalmist says, because. I want you to understand today that everything we do or do not do is determined by our love for the Lord. Or our lack of love for the Lord. You understand that, don't you? Everything that you do in life is determined by your love for the Lord. Oh yes. Why are you at church? You should be here because you love the Lord. I don't have a problem with coming to church faithfully 3 times a week and special meetings. When you love the Lord, that's not a problem. Now, some people have health issues. I understand that. You know what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, dear friends, there ought to be some things that ought not be a problem because we love the Lord. It shouldn't be hard for us to talk to others about the Lord. Now, what I'm saying here is there's a lot of people that love the church. And we go out and we can invite everybody in the world to the church. But if you love the Lord, you're going to talk about the Lord. What a difference. Amen? You say, well, it just makes me nervous. Well, just fall in love with the Lord a little bit more and you'll be surprised at what God will do. What we must do is we have to nourish this love that we have for the Lord. And the psalmist said, I love the Lord. And he tells us why he loves the Lord. I want us to look this morning, if you'll notice with me. First of all, I want you to see Satan's plot in verse number 3. We're going to find out why this psalmist says, I love the Lord. See Satan's plot, if you will. The Bible says in verse number 3, the sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So the psalmist is writing and he says, the sorrows of death compassed about me. Think about it. They can pass me. In other words, the psalmist is writing and says he's completely surrounded. He was in a place where he felt like there was absolutely no hope. There was not a chance of escape. There was no way. Death was going to win. And the Bible teaches us in the New Testament, for the wages of sin is death. I'm telling you, dear friends, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in this place. The Bible says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and you're in the same place. Death is hot on your trail. If you're still in your sin, if you're living a life in sin, then the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. Be not deceived this morning. The Bible is clear about sin and sorrow. They go together. The sinner is surrounded by death. What a terrible place to be. Think about it. He felt like death was all around him. The sorrows of death compassed me. All around I was compassed by this sorrow. Well, what a place to be. This is Satan's plot. This is what Satan desires for your life. This is what the devil wants for you. He wants sorrow. He wants death. He wants you to live a life of misery and a life of agony. And then the psalmist goes on and says, the pains of hell got hold upon me. What a fearful place. Condemnation, hell is. Hell is real, isn't it? Hell is real. May the Lord help us to understand the reality of all this. May the Lord help us to understand how truthful that statement is, that hell is a real place. It's a place where the fire never fades. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place of weeping and wailing, of gnashing of teeth. There was an infidel that was dying. And as he was lying on his deathbed, he was laying there, and he began to cry out, and he said, hell is real, for I feel its flames around my feet, and I'm descending into that terrible place. The psalmist writes, and he says that hell got hold upon him. In other words, he could feel the pains of hell, and he realized the truthfulness of hell, and he was saying he was in trouble. The psalmist says hell practically has him in its grips. And he goes on, and he says, I found trouble and sorrow. There's trouble around and sorrow within. What a place this writer's in. What a position he's in. Think about it. The sorrows of death. Hell's got a hold of me. Trouble and sorrow all around. It's around me. It's within me. He's in a place of true trouble, isn't he? I'm reminded about Paul's writing in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, Satan's plot is to keep you blinded. Satan's plot in this psalm would be to let the sorrows of death stay there, to let hell get a hold of him, for trouble and sorrow to be all the days of the life of this one that's writing this psalm. Satan's plot is to destroy the soul. And the psalmist, Psalm 116, comes to the end of himself. Sounds like it, doesn't it? Sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. He was searching everything and everyone, and all he could find is trouble and sorrow. He was looking and looking and looking, and he was trying to find a way out for himself. But Psalm 116, verse number 4 says, then. What a blessed Blessed then, we find in the Bible. The sorrows of death are around me. The pains of hell's got a hold on me. I'm finding trouble. I'm finding sorrow. And when it seemed like there was no hope, when it seemed like there was no way out, when all there was trouble and sorrow, then he says, I looked up. This is what I found. I want you to see, secondly, this morning, salvation's plan. He says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. I was in an inescapable place. Hell had me. The sorrows of death were overcoming me. Trouble and sorrow was all around. I did not know what to do. I did not know where to turn. I was trying to find within myself a way of escape. I was trying to find within the circumstances a way to get out. And I realized that all I could find is trouble and sorrow. But then I called upon the name of the Lord. I love what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We find salvation's plan right here in the psalm when he says everything seemed to be going the wrong way. My life was ruined. My life was destroyed. I could find no peace, no happiness. All I could find is sorrow. All I could find is trouble. But then I called upon the name of the Lord. And he said, oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. I love what Paul writes as he's writing to the Galatian church. And he says in Galatians chapter number 1, verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Dear friends, I want you to understand today that there's only one way of escape. There's only one way to be delivered, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's through Him that died for us on the cross of Calvary. Never can works deliver. Never can rituals deliver us. Never can deeds deliver us. Never can religion deliver us. Only Christ can deliver us. Only a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing or no one else can deliver us. Must call upon the Lord if you desire to be delivered. If you desire to get away from the sorrows of death. If you want to let go of hell from hell. If you want to find something other than trouble and sorrow. There's only one way. And it's Jesus. Jesus is the way of escape. I love the Lord today because I saw my sinful condition. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. The night I was saved, that's exactly where I was at. I was lost. I was undone. I was on my way to hell. The sorrows of death compassed about me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I could find nothing but trouble and sorrow. But then that night I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wonderfully and gloriously saved me. And He changed my life and He gave me a promise and a hope and a future. And today I want you to know it's not trouble and sorrow I'm finding. It's peace and joy that's everlasting. It's assurance that just as sure as I'm standing here, one day I'll be standing over there. And what a time that's going to be. We see salvation's plan. Then I want you to see the Savior's person. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 116, verse number 5. He says in verse 4, I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. And then we know what happened because he says in verse number 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. He's a wonderful Savior, isn't he? He's a good God. You know, there's so many people that's looking to the gods of this world. They're looking to these statues and these idols and all these different things. But dear friends, if you'll just get your eyes on the Lord, you're going to find out that our God is gracious. He's righteous. He's merciful. I love those descriptions of Him. I love what the Bible has to say about our Lord, about our God. This is God's revelation of Himself to man. God is showing us who He is through His Word. This deliverer, this one that can break through the very hold of hell and the sorrows of death and the trouble and sorrow that's around us, this one that delivers us from these things, He is, the Bible says, He's gracious. In other words, He's just full of grace. You know what you deserve today? You know what you don't deserve? See, grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. You don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve everlasting life. We don't deserve eternal joy. We don't deserve a mansion in heaven. God's given me what I do not deserve. You want to know why? Because He's gracious. And the Bible says He's merciful. You know what that is? That's Him not giving us what we do deserve. You know what I deserve today? I deserve hell. I deserve sorrow. I deserve trouble. I deserve the worst that you could possibly imagine. That's what I deserve. But in His mercy, He forgave me. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. In other words, I deserved hell, and my works, as good as I could possibly be, still made me deserve hell. But He looked beyond what I was and saw me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave mercy to me, and He gave grace. And I love that third word, and I know it's right between it, but righteous. And we see that word righteous. The righteousness of God ties His grace and His mercy together. Isn't that wonderful? Notice how it says it there in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." So His grace and His mercy is tied together by His righteousness. You know what that means? He'll never do wrong. He'll never do wrong. Psalm 119 verse 37 says, "Righteous art Thou, O Lord, and upright in Thy judgments." In other words, when death comes, He'll do the right thing with people. And by the way, God has never sent one soul to hell. I'm sorry if you think He has. He did everything He could to keep you out of hell, to keep them out of hell. Anybody that dies and goes to hell, they go because they refuse what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary. God doesn't send people there. People choose to go there. He's done all that needs to be done in order for men and women and boys and girls to go to heaven. If you don't think that He'll take you and your family, if you think somebody's too bad, I want to remind you of what John writes, the Lord Jesus says in the Gospel of John. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You know who can be saved? Anybody. If they're willing to come to the Lord, He'll save them. Well, what about that murderer? If he'll come to the Lord and by faith trust Jesus Christ, I want you to know what he'll do. He'll forgive him and sin. Now, he still has to face the consequences here in this world. But God forgives of sins. You know what the Bible teaches me? If I've offended in one part of the law, I'm guilty of all of it. A little white lie makes me guilty of murder. Now, let's just take the Bible at its word. So you know what that means? We're all guilty before God. And dear friends, the Lord is gracious because He gives us what we don't deserve. He's merciful because He does not give us what we do deserve. And He is righteous. And it ties His grace and His mercy together. And He'll never make a wrong decision. He'll never do the wrong thing. If you ever have somebody talk to you, as a pastor, I've had this question. Somebody lived a life of, wickedness. And in a time of grief and sorrow, a family member will inevitably say, is he gone to be with the Lord? Is he saved? And you don't want to look and say, you know, he split hell wide open. You can't do that. Here's the answer. God will do right because our Lord is righteous. And he'll get exactly what he's chosen to do with his life. You see, God makes no mistakes. And by the way, I'm not the judge of whether somebody goes to heaven or hell. Only God. But you know what the Bible says? He's righteous. He does everything right. Everything. He's wonderful, isn't he? So we see, we've seen Satan's plot. We've seen salvation's plan. We've seen the Savior's person. I want you to see fourthly, supplication's promise. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. I love the Lord. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. We had to get through all that. We had to understand the circumstances in this life. We had to understand the situation in this life. We had to see where this guy was, where this psalmist was when he was writing this. He had the sorrows of death. He had the pains of hell. He had trouble and sorrow all around. But then he called upon God, and the Lord heard him, and this Lord is a gracious and merciful and righteous God. He says, I want you to know I love him today. I love the Lord. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he had heard my voice. That's wonderful. When you study this out, you're going to find out when it's just his voice, it's moanings and groanings, it's utterings. You ever prayed like that? You ever got to the point in your life where you felt like you didn't know what to say or what to do, and you just, oh, Lord. And while you verbally may not have been saying something, God knew exactly what you meant. He hears your voice and the supplications. That just simply means that which is understandable. Times when you could call out to God and speak to him, and you knew exactly what you wanted to say. So at the times when you don't know what to say, God hears your voice. And the times you do know what to say, God hears your voice. And then I love verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. You know what that means? He bends down low. And he wants to hear everything you have to say. In times of trouble, in times of heartache, in times of weariness, in times when you want to throw in the towel, in times when you feel like I don't deserve to be heard, he inclines his ear. And he gets down. Basically, this means he puts his ear next to your lips. So that you can speak to him. Therefore, I will call upon the Lord as long as I live. Because of his deliverance, because of what the Lord's done for me, I realize he's given me something precious. And I'm going to give myself to him, and I'm going to call upon him as long as I live. I love the Lord. He says, I love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. So what's this mean to us? What about today? What about right now? If you're here and you're not saved, it means that the sorrows of death are all around you. It means that the pains of hell have got a hold of you. It means all you're going to find is trouble and sorrow. And the only hope you can have is to get to then. Where he says, then I called upon the name of the Lord. You need to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior today. You need to know that heaven's going to be your home. You need to have that peace and fulfillment in your life that you've trusted him. And when you have, as long as you live, you can call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to give you three thoughts about the love of the Lord.
about loving the Lord. Number one, this is important for everybody. If you're a Christian, y'all write these things down. They're so profound. The reason of loving the Lord is found in 1 John chapter number 1, verse 19. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. You want to know why we can tell people we love the Lord? Because He loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they're weak, but He is strong. Yes! Jesus, you know what? It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter what you have or do not have. Jesus loves you. It does not matter where you came from. Jesus loves you. It does not matter the color of your skin. Jesus loves you. It does not matter the house you live in, the car you drive. Jesus loves you. And when you experience this love, when you receive Christ into your life, you realize the reason we love Him is because He first loved us. Number two, the result of loving the Lord is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 15. He says, the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says in verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and listen to this, and will manifest myself to him. We love him because he first loved us. But if we love him the way that we ought to love him, we'll keep his commandments. And when we keep his commandments, he will manifest himself to us. There's so many people today that says, I never hear from the Lord. I never experience the things of God. I'm going to tell you exactly why. You can take it to the bank. It's because you don't love him the way you ought to love him. It's because I don't love him the way I ought to love him. Hey, this is what the Bible says. When we love God the way we ought to love God, He will manifest Himself to us. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't change that. I wish I could. But I'm glad I can't. Because I'd have a mess of things. But you want to know why He doesn't manifest Himself to us when we're not loving Him the way that we ought to? It's because we're headed down the wrong road. We're doing the wrong things with our life. When we love the Lord the way we ought to love the Lord, it'll change our lives. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath done all these wonderful things. I love the Lord because He first loved me. And because of this, I want to love Him back. I'm going to call upon Him as long as I live. When you're calling upon the Lord all the time, you're going to love Him. If you have a desire to talk to the Lord, you're going to love Him. If you're busy giving your life to God, you're going to love Him. That's the result of loving the Lord. You do what He says. I have two kids. How many of y'all have children? When you have children, there's times you ask them to do certain things, don't you? And it's just like we was talking about in Sunday school this morning. If they go, okay, I'll do it. I'm going to tell you something. They don't love you the way that they should love you when they do it that way. And there's a lot of times God speaks to us. And He says, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And we go, well, okay, I guess I'll do it. That's not keeping His commandments. See, loving the Lord, obeying the Lord is delighting in doing His will. It's not doing His will, it's delighting in doing His will. And there's a lot of times with kids, you know what you have to do? You have to twist their arm to get them to do what you want them to do. But I'm going to tell you something. If a kid truly falls in love with that and just has a desire to be obedient to a parent, they'll do it. And before we get down on our children or our grandchildren, we better look at our relationship with the Lord. We say we love the Lord, but do we? We say, oh, I love the Lord. But do we? Because do we do His commandments? Then thirdly, the reckoning of this love for the Lord. The reckoning of this love for the Lord. I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 6. The Bible says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Listen to this. Wherefore we labor. Now I want to tell you something. The work of the Lord is not easy work. It's work. We labor. That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Here's the truth of the matter. If you're doing what the Lord tells you to do, but it's with the attitude like, well, I guess I have to do it, and, you know, kicking the dust, and, oh, okay, I guess I'll do it. I want to tell you something. That's bad. But when you do it with a willing heart, that's good. And the Bible teaches us that we'll all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a reckoning day coming. So many people think that when you get saved, that's the end of it all. Heaven's going to be my home. Glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way. And that's wonderful. I'm glad. Heaven's going to be my home. But I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. The life we live after we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior is just as important as the day that we trust Christ as our Savior. As a matter of fact, that ought to be the beginning point, and we ought to be growing out of that. And we're on our way to heaven, but we're working our way by faith. We're not working our way to heaven. We're working by faith through this life, so that when we get to heaven, we'll receive our rewards for what we've done with Christ. There's a reckoning day coming. And it's one thing to say, I love the Lord, but it's another thing to prove that I love the Lord. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. I love the Lord, the Bible says. The psalmist writes, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Oh, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Oh, I love the Lord. He heard me. How many, I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many remember the day that you called out unto the Lord and asked Him to forgive your sins and by faith trust Jesus Christ as Savior? What a day. You realize that that day was the day that grace and mercy became real to your life. You became complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness was imputed to your account. That's good, isn't it? You've heard the song sung, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. I'm telling you, dear friends, that's what it is to be saved. But if we love the Lord, we'll keep His commandments. If we love the Lord the way that we should, we'll realize that every day counts for God. If we love the Lord, we'll give our life to doing God's will. If we love the Lord, we won't battle the things, the simple things. Do I go to church or not? Do I pass out gospel tracts or not? Do I speak to somebody about their soul or not? You know, it's not easy, but because we love the Lord, we realize, I want to do this. And we'll tell you why most visitation programs don't work. We do it because we feel like it's something that we have to do, and not because we love the Lord. By the way, I stand before you guilty. Because there's many times I've went out and knocked on doors because I thought this is what has to be done. And not because I want to do this. But there's souls of men and women and boys and girls that are on their way to hell that Jesus loves. And I ought to love him enough to tell the world about him. Let's bow. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, may we be sincere in this time this morning as we respond to thy word. Lord, if there be one here that the sorrows of death are around him and hell literally has a grip on them, and trouble and sorrow is all they can find, I pray that this day they would call upon the name of the Lord and trust Jesus as Savior. And for those of us that are saved, and we know that heaven's going to be our home, help us to be able to say, I love the Lord, and really mean it. Lord, by keeping your commandments, having you manifest to us, by realizing, Lord, that we'll give an answer to the truth of this or not, whether we're true about it. And, oh Lord, if we just love you the way we should, we could reach people with the gospel of Christ in a greater way. Help us, Lord, to fall in love with you all over again. Help the one that needs to be saved. We'll thank and praise you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano begins to play, this morning, how many say, preacher?